So, hello everybody. Can everybody hear me okay? Brother Sam, can you hear me? All righty. Why don't we have a word of prayer and we will get started here. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Him. We thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being able to come together with like-minded believers to study your word. We pray for the wisdom, the guidance, the understanding to be gained from the reading and the studying of your word, but most importantly, Heavenly Father, from believing it. And we pray that it would have that effectual working in them that believe. And we ask these things with prayer and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Of course, as you know, this is Gospel Sunday, first Sunday of each month. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is the salvation of God. I want you to begin by looking at Psalms chapter 78 in verse 22. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 22. And what we read here, and I want this verse for the words that are specifically stated. And the way I'm using the verse here, the word salvation would be capitalized for the way that I'm using the verse. And this is what it says, because they believe not in God and trusted not in His salvation. And I'm presenting this message this way, that the salvation of God that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. Now men are lost and will die and go to hell for basically one simple reason. Psalm 78, 22. Because they believe not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. We're going to start with verse 1. Paul writes here, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record." And by the way, Psalm 78 verse 22 was actually talking about the nation of Israel over there, as Paul is talking about the nation of Israel here. And he says, my brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Okay. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So again, men are lost and will die and go to hell principally because they believe not God and trusted not in His salvation. Okay. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 25. Now, when we talk about the salvation of God, again, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being the salvation of God. But the reason we need the salvation that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ is because we have sinned against God. Now, that's a powerful statement, by the way. When you consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God, it's a powerful statement about the deity, you know, about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, this unique person, as to who he is. Okay, he's not just anybody. He's a unique individual, and he factors big with regards to the salvation of men. There's a verse back in, if I can remember where it's at, just give me a second here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, Paul writes this. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." But the living God is the Savior of all men. And again, we have sinned against God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. And as we work down through this message, you know, it's just a great declaration about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's not God the Father. He's not God the Holy Spirit. He is God the Son. Okay? He's the second person of the Trinity. But he's God. But he's also, he's truly God, and he is truly man. And he's this one unique individual that is able to reconcile God and man back together. Okay, and we'll see how that all works. But we need salvation. The fact that we speak of the salvation of God, it speaks of a particular need that we have, and that we need the forgiveness of God. We need the deliverance of God. We need the salvation of God. And the reason for that is because we have sinned against God. Now, in 1 Samuel 2:25 here, it says, "If one man sin against another, the just shall judge him." And we're able to do that. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the reason that is so, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. Okay, the reason that is so, it's like what Paul sort of talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the..." So, but verse 11 is all I really need here. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man that is in him?" You know, we're able to... I tell you what, get another passage. I hope this point come across clearly. But in 1 Corinthians... chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saint?" In other words, saints ought to be able to resolve their problems among themselves as saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Okay. Men have the capacity to judge one another. Okay. Because of their, you know, of their likeness. Things that are common among men give them the capacity. There's a commonness among men that gives them the capacity to judge one another. And so if we sin against one another, okay, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, and this is where the problem comes in for all of mankind. If a man sins against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? And the fact of the matter is, we sin against God. And only the salvation of God can we find deliverance. Only by the Lord's salvation can we find, you know, deliverance, forgiveness. And again, men are lost and will die and go to hell because they believe not in God and trusted not in His salvation. You see, when we sinned against God, there was no one, especially among mankind, that had the ability to resolve that matter or to address the matter of sinning against God. In fact, our very sin remedied us incapable of doing anything about our sin against God. But we sin against God. And as a result of sinning against God, we stand in need of the salvation of God. Okay. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5. In verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, this takes us back to the very beginning, when God created man. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. And He made one prohibition. There was these trees in the garden. And they could eat of all the trees in the garden, with the exception of this one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to partake of that tree. And Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Look over at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. But now Adam was not deceived, and it was a clear act of disobedience. Against the commandment of God. Going back to Romans 5, so when he says there, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The sin of Adam brought about the judgment of God upon all men. We're sinners, not because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We are fallen. We have a fallen nature. We have a sinful nature. And that is the judgment of God upon all men for the disobedience of the one man, Adam. And again, he was not deceived. His was an act of willful disobedience. And as a result of that, brought about the judgment of God upon the human race. Verse 13, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So someone might say, well, I didn't sin against God, so therefore I don't have a problem. No, your problem is because you have a problem because God passed judgment upon Adam, and you're in Adam, and that judgment is conferred upon you. It was conferred upon Adam and Adam's children and Adam's children's children until the full eradication of sin. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so is the free gift. Now, this is a passage that, you know, can kind of get kind of thick, complicated, trying to figure out exactly, okay, what is he saying here? And, you know, and I can read it today, I could read it tomorrow, and it still have the same kind of complexity. And it doesn't matter whether you read it in the Greek or you read it in English. The reason it is complex in the Greek is complex in the English for that reason. Okay, and just going to the Greek isn't going to make it any more clear for you, because the construction in the Greek is why it's constructed the way it is here in English. You know, when you're translating it from the Greek to the English. But in any case, I think it's rather a simple message that is being communicated here, and I hope that I will convey clearly and accurately what that I believe that simple message is. When he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Okay? If you look at verse 18, he says, therefore is by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now that's factual. In other words, because of Adam's sin against God, all men were made sinners. When they come into this world, they come into this world estranged from God, from birth. Okay? Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all. The judgment of God was upon all men to condemnation. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 15:21, I believe it is, in Adam, all die. Okay. So when he says, again, looking back at verse 15, when he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. It's that last part of the verse that we're trying to comprehend. We understand the offense. Through the offense of one, many, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But now think about that for a moment. Because one can make the error of teaching that because of what Adam did, we were all made sinners. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, we're all made righteous. And you get into a doctrine of universalism, by the way some of that thinking goes. But that is not what this passage is teaching. It's not teaching that all lost men are going to be saved. It's not going to I'll leave it at that. It is not teaching that all lost men are going to be saved. You know, someone may try to make an argument for that from reading this passage, but far from it. Just the opposite. So again, when he says in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, go back to verse 15, and so let's continue to read from there, and I'll comment more. For if through the offense of one many be dead, now get that, through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they, and here's the operative phrase, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, did you catch that? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So Paul writes, again, in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. But notice that it says, in Christ shall all be made alive. So where do you have to be in order to be made alive? You have to be in Christ. You shall reign in life by one, rather. Let me read that verse again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, when you think about that, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If you look back at Romans chapter 3, and I'm just simply trying to make the point, we need salvation because of Adam's sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. He is that salvation. He is the means by which our sins are forgiven. He is the means by which we have forgiveness with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father. But in Romans chapter 3, in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Now watch what it says. "Unto all and upon all them that," what? "Believe. For there is no difference." The difference, in the point being, the difference between the sin that Adam brought upon the human race, we had no choice in the matter. We were made sinners. Okay? And in Adam, all die. But because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary, puts us in a unique position. Okay? We're put in a position where we can choose life, or death, for that matter. But we're put in a position where the choice is ours. The Lord Jesus Christ has remedied a situation that would seem unfair, or would seem to make God to be unrighteous in condemning the lost. Now, you understand, if he had passed judgment upon Adam, in that eternal sense, that moment, that instant, that he sinned, that would have put an end to God's purpose and design for placing Adam on the earth in the first place. And there's nothing that Adam did that caught God by surprise. Known unto to God are all his works from the beginning. God knew. But my point is, the fact that Adam gave birth to children in his own image, his fallen image, and they would stand condemned in him, seem totally unrighteous of God to judge them, as it were. Okay. And so I can see when the Bible talks about in Romans, go to Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. Now we sin against God, but we sin against God and Adam. The question then becomes, how is that sin going to be atoned for? How is that going to be made right and not condemn man into an eternal damnation? Okay. God won't cast away a perfect man, Job 8:20. Neither will he help the evildoer. Job 9 says, I know it is so of a truth, but how then should a man be just with God? Well, Romans 3:25 here says, whom, that is Christ Jesus, hath God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his right. There's an issue of the righteousness of God in dealing with the sin of man, and in providing salvation for lost man. But God just can't do anything in providing that salvation. He has to retain his integrity, his holiness, his righteousness. And God's answer to the dilemma, and Job expressed what that dilemma was perfectly when he says, I know it is so of a truth. Know what, Job? That God won't cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoer. But we're not perfect, Job. Exactly right. But we are evildoers, and that verse says God won't help the evildoer. And the only way God can provide, and so Job asked a question in Job, I know it is so of a truth, but how then should man be just with God? How can I be made, you know, again, remember 1 Samuel 2:25, if a man sins against another man, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sins against God, who shall entreat? Who's going to make intercession for him? No one can, because all men are sinners. Okay, all men stand condemned. Sin separates from God. All men stand separated from God because of the sin of Adam. And so it's a logical question to ask. It's a natural question to ask if when we sinned against God, it put us totally and completely at a disadvantage of ever approaching God. It made God unapproachable. Our sin, when we sin, it made God unapproachable. That is, we could not approach God. Man was in no position to approach him in any way. And so, you know, Job, later on in Job chapter 9, he raises the question, I wish there was a daysman betwixt me and God, as it were, a mediator. Just like Paul says, there's one mediator between God and man. But there needs to be a mediator. But the mediator has to have unique qualities. He had to be both God and he had to be both man in one person, in order to address our sin, man's sin against God. The Lord Jesus Christ had to be man, but he also had to be God, okay? He had to be the one we sinned against. Now, when we sin against the Godhead, Okay? We didn't just sin against the Father. We sin against the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sin against God. When we talk about God, we're talking about the Godhead. When we talk about the Godhead, we're talking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all God. Not all gods, all God, singular. Okay? Singular in its meaning, plural in its form. There is but one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you're talking about the Father, you're talking about God. You're talking about the Son, you're talking about God. You're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about God. You're talking about all that is called God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all that define God is equally attributed to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, not three gods, one God. Three persons. Okay? And we sin against God, the Father, the Son, and that's why all three persons of the Godhead and the Holy Spirit, that's why all three persons of the Godhead are actively involved in providing salvation, providing redemption for all men. We need salvation because we sin against God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. We need to believe in God and we need to trust in His salvation. That is, we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to Him for who He is and what He did to give us a perfect and right standing with God the Father. That's why, you know, the Bible speaks about our faith being counted for righteousness. That's why the Bible, that is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our Bible speaks about the imputation of righteousness. Because we're not righteous in ourselves, but when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died for our sins, He put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself, that God, because of our faith in Him for those things, we're believing in Him for the things that He accomplished for us, what He did there for us on the cross. As Paul would write in Acts 13:38, be it known therefore unto you men and brethren that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. We are putting our faith, we're putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's why we are trusting in Him. And when we trust in Him, all that He is imputed unto us. His, you know, He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ become our justification. He becomes our sanctification. He becomes our redemption. You see, because of His unique person, He was able to make the sacrifice. That's what Romans 3:25 is talking about when it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means a fully satisfying payment for sin. It addresses the sin question completely and thoroughly. Nothing left to be done. And so all God asks and all that God requires is that we put our faith in Him and the shedding of His blood on Calvary's cross. 2 Corinthians 5:19 again says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now watch this. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And so it creates a unique opportunity. This is why Paul calls this, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. What a tremendous time you and I live in, where all that God requires of us is simply to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we shall be saved. When Paul talks about the exceeding abundant grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, you can understand that when you consider the length to which God has went to provide salvation for us. And to simplify it, where the only thing we have to do is simply believe. Well, as a songwriter would say, what a Savior. Well, if you have any questions or any comments, this is your time. By the way, hi, my dear. Glad you were able to come. Amen, Brother Greg. And good to see you, Brother Sam. Trust you got a chance to talk to Brother Bill. By the way, he has to fly back to Arizona and get his wife. Will do, Brother Greg. And then they're going to come back for the funeral. I presume they're going to have the funeral this coming Saturday. Maria, if you typed anything, I didn't see it pop up. But I saw your hand indicating you might have been typing something. But if nothing further, we'll call it a night. God's best to y'all. And thanks again, Brother Greg, for posting. And again, say hi to Sister Donna for us. Love you all. And Maria, I don't know if you were able to get... Oh, good. Hi, Mama. Glad you were able to sit in and listen. Hope all is well with you. And as I would say to all, God's grace and peace be to you all. And again, until next week, God's best to you all. We're going to be closing down the room at this time. Good night.